You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the equine network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek back in Ocala, Florida.
I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Monday, March 11th, episode 3381, brought to you today by Worm Flooring. Good morning, horse people.
I have good news and bad news for you on this Monday morning. First, the bad. It's Monday. But the good news is really good. Jamie and Glenn are here to guide you through another week filled with horse talk and a whole lot of fun. Welcome to Horses in the Morning.
That's right. It is Monday morning. Thank you for joining us today. We really appreciate it. Today we have a fun show planned for you. Producer Ashley Avis is stopping by. What are we going to talk about with her today?
Oh my gosh, she's the one who did the new Black Beauty, and she is a horse advocate, and she's going to come on because there's a contest going on, and I'm a judge, and we're going to talk about it.
Okay, and we have Amber and Jesse joining us from the Blind Horse Project. We're going to find out all about that coming up on today's show. And hang around for the Auditor Post show. I have a unpopular opinion I'm going to bring up, and we'll see where the hate mail goes. So that's coming up in today's post show. But there's something really cool happening over in the UK. They are starting an organization called Rescue Equine Showing Society, or RES. And what that is for rescues. It's for equine rescues, but they're going to have special shows set up. I think they're doing it in conjunction with other bigger shows. But like we have Thoroughbreds have their own classes at most of the shows, right? They're doing the same thing for rescues. And they're starting shows at Equifest. It's a big deal over in Europe. And they're starting classes there. They're going to have in-hand and riding classes. And I just think it's a cool thing to highlight rescues.
That's rescue so horses. Fun. Yeah. That's so fun. I wonder what the parameters for this is. Is it something that you scored off Craigslist, or is it something you adopted?
I couldn't find that initially, but I want to get somebody on to talk more about it because I think it's a great idea. I think it's something that maybe would go very well here as well. Because the thoroughbred classes and the different kinds of classes we have in other shows that highlight certain breeds and things like that, I just think would go well here. So anyway.
I have so many ideas. Okay, this is the under 25 laminitic pony class. And then the next one is the abused quarter horse class. Yes. Yeah.
The skinny, the almost dead Hackney class.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You would totally win that. The now fat, used to be skinny Hackney pony class. Like,
who have no movement and are as lazy as hell class.
Just stand here and look pretty.
Let's see what he can take out of your pocket. Oh my, he's an expert oh my God. At that.
I'm going to launch this in the U.S. It's going to be fantastic.
Can I just say, though, I pick up my pony all the time, and I want to give him some credit. Because we were gone for a week, we get back, and he was the snuzzliest hanging around with me pony when we were out there. And he
did you say snuzzliest?
Snuzzliest. That's a new word. He was just right there with me and just hanging out and followed me around like a puppy dog. He actually missed me, I think.
Aw, little baby, Mrs. Daddy.
I pick on him all the time, but he does have personality plus. I mean, he really does. And he's like a dog. He's like a puppy dog. So anyway, when we move out to the new place, we were talking about getting a dog. I said, we don't need one. We have Scooter. And he stays outside and doesn't come in the house. It's perfect.
His poops are pretty big, though.
Yeah, that's true. Annoying. That is true. All right, let's do some Daily Whinnies. Happy birthday to longtime auditor Rachel Wallace and host of Adulting with Horses, Natalie Keller Reinhardt. Happy birthday to both of you. Also, thank you to Ashley for filling in on Friday. Unfortunately, Helena lives back a long dirt lane, and it had rained so much last week, and they were expecting massive rains the day we left, and we knew if we had waited one more day like we were supposed to, if we didn't get out of there Friday morning, Our two-wheel drive truck pulling the horse trailer was not going to make it out that lane, and apparently they did have inches of rain that day. So I'm glad we bugged out when we did. And
you know what we said on Friday was that we didn't let you come on the show because it was International Women's Day and you weren't invited. But we did let you record an interview and play it. You had to get your nose in there somehow.
But I interviewed a woman.
That's true. That's why we let it in, honestly.
Well, it sounds like you had a fun show. So I'm glad I got home, and I'm glad you had a good show.
Yeah, it was great. Well, I don't like this trend, and I'm going to share it with you, Glenn, because I feel like it's going to leech towards your direction. Uh-oh. And sweet auditor, Patty Otto, she posted a picture of her husband. Check this out. And he's in like a bucket truck and he's above their outdoor arena. And she posts this, a loving gift from a husband to his horsey wife. He's fixing my arena lights. Now, John is a veterinarian. Small animal veterinarian. He's my veterinarian. He's a wonderful guy. Why are you in a bucket truck? So, okay.
Just anybody rent a bucket truck?
I don't know. I mean, he's pretty high up there, so I'm pretty sure it's him. But she said that the best gifts to us, horsey girl, aren't diamonds and gold. Thank you, honey. Really sweet. But then there's another woman, and her name is Pamela. And Pamela's husband gets on there and comments, John Otto, get down from there. You're making it hard for the rest of us to have a moment to relax. HHAA, Horse Husbands Association of America, is going to take your membership card. Did you know there was an HHAA? I feel like you should be involved.
Wait a minute. There is one?
Well, according to Bruce.
I'm looking it up now. If there isn't, there should be one. Maybe that's,
I know.
Maybe
and that's the trend I don't like.
I could be chairman of the board of that one.
First of all, don't involve my husband. Y'all keep him out of it. He has work to do.
Oh, my God.
Is that a real thing?
I'm on Facebook, the HOHA, Horse Owners Husbands Association.
Oh, my God. You got to get him on. There you go.
Okay. Well, it's not a very big association. There's 26 members.
Okay. Well, then good. Keep it to yourself. I don't want anybody involved. Thanks, Patty and John and Pamela and Bruce. Y'all can all go, you know. Again, John Otto, you are doing what you're supposed to do, okay? Bruce, you keep it down over there. I know he doesn't live that far away. I don't want him poisoning my husband to think that we don't do work. I've got a whole new fence line that needs started, okay?
Oh, that's the most fun job in the world, too.
Oh.
Worm Flooring. He was on. We had him on, last week or the week before, talking about the new roofs they do. And we've had a lot of comments on that. There is a new product that they do over at Worm Flooring. It's called Seal and Chill. And it's for your horse trailer roof or your barn roof or any roof, your RV roof. And what it does is it helps seal the roof to stop leaks before they start. And it reflects back nearly 90% of the UV rays, keeping your trailer barn up to 60 degrees cooler on a blistering day. I really want to get this done. Because in Florida, I'm feeling like that would make a big difference in the trailer. With as long as it's taking to get this whole health thing settled, we might be living in our trailer. So they need to get this done. So, you know, you can, this is really cool. We learned so much about it. It's $7.50 per square foot. Now, it's different dealers than do the Worm Flooring. So go to wormflooring.com to find a dealer near you.
I wonder what it looks like. Does it look like somebody poured a bunch of tar on your roof? Or?
There's pictures on the website on wormflooring.com, and it just looks clean and pretty. And apparently, you can get up there and you can pressure wash it off and pressure wash, because ours get all moldy here. And you can pressure wash it and all that kind of stuff. I tell you one thing we did do. In the new barn at the new place, we made it tall enough that we can park the trailer underneath the roof so that it can be out of the sun, because that's what kills everything here. It's just sitting in the sun. Like Oklahoma, I'm sure. Same thing there.
Yeah. I'm looking it up right now. I'm trying to find a picture.
Yeah. It's just white. It looks great because it looks finished. There's no bumps or gaps, and it goes over the whole roof, whether it's aluminum roof, whatever your roof is. Apparently, he said you can put it over anything, which was kind of surprising. But
well, they did my Sooner trailer, and my Sooner trailer has an aluminum floor, and somebody brought a horse yesterday for training and dropped it off, and they had a Sooner trailer, too. And I was like, oh, what kind of floor do you have? And then, of course, I take him over, and I'm like, this is a worm floor, and this thing is great. You need to look at it, because I was like, actually, I started the conversation like, do you guys have aluminum floor? Yes. I go, did you know you're supposed to take your mats out and like scrub your floor all the time? Like every time you use it? And the husband just looks at me and he just walks away. Like, he needs to join the HOAA.
Yeah. He went to buy a membership that day. He hates you now.
He was number 26 on that Facebook page.
All right, coming up next, we have Amber and Jesse. They're joining us from something called the Blind Horse Project, and we're going to learn all about that. So, Jesse, welcome to the show. Tell us, what is the Blind Horse Project?
Hi, thank you for having me on the show. So the Blind Horse Project is a community-based effort to bring more awareness to the fact that our blind, when our horses go blind, it doesn't have to be the end of the line for them, that they can be rehabilitated and brought back into work.
So you guys, so this is not a rescue where you have a whole bunch of blind horses at your place. You're trying to just bring awareness through other people who have blind horses?
We ourselves own our own personal blinds. Jesse has two. I have three.
Oh, wow.
My daughter is also another leader on the project. She has one as well. Jesse has gone through, she's going on 5 years of rehabilitating blinds specifically to go back into work. And Kaylee and I have been working in rescue for about 6 years with blinds.
Oh, wow. So Amber, tell me what was the motivation behind this project? Was you just ended up with one and went, wow, this is a pretty cool horse.
So after owning them for several years, it was an everyday occurrence. Like a blind horse to me was just another horse. It wasn't brought to my attention until I started seeing people finding out their horses weren't even blind yet. They were going to go blind and the vets were recommending euthanasia because they're dangerous at that point. That's when it really kicked in for me. And I was like, I need to show people that blind horses can and do thrive after proper rehabilitation. And then Jesse and I found each other on social media because she was trying to do the same thing, and we just combined our efforts.
Jesse, what does it take? You're talking about rehabilitation. What does that mean for a blind horse?
Well, rehabilitation, honestly, it's pretty simple overall. For the gritty details, I will refer people back to getting in contact with us directly. We really want to encourage people to really seek out the Blind Horse Project when they're rehabilitating a blind horse, because the average person just does not have the experience with it that we do. But in general, a lot of people have found success and rehabilitating in the beginning stages. It's as simple as making sure your horse has solid fencing around them and then keeping their food and water in one place, and then adding a buddy if they're anxious, like a low, like older horse or a smaller horse that's just low key, low mood.
Are they like humans? Do they learn to get around their space and not hit things?
Oh, you would be so surprised. When I first brought home my blinds, it took walking them around their paddock and into their run-in shed one time, and they memorized where everything was. Like when people come over, one of my blind horses has to be masked because he still has his eyes. They don't even know he's blind.
Wow. And do they find you? I mean, do they sense where you are and they come up and snuzzle you like other horses do, like, you know, sighted horses?
It depends on where they're at in their rehabilitation, honestly. So horses that have been blind for a while can more easily recognize the distance between objects. Horses that are new at it might need a little bit of guidance. You might have to put your hand out or use your voice or something to kind of help them be able to learn how to find that distance without their eyes.
Amber, do they spook easier at sounds? Or, you know, obviously they have smell too. Do they rely then on their smell to determine what's a predator and what's not?
So the best way I describe this to people is, so I live in Gettysburg, so you can imagine the fireworks are constant. And I have two sighted...
And the reenactment, which is the largest in the country.
Yes. It's crazy. So my blind horses could care less. My sighted horses freak out. They're like, oh my gosh, what's that? And I'm like, guys, this is, we see this every year, multiple times a year. My blind horses are so desensitized to things, they rarely ever spook. The only thing that I find, and Jesse might have a different perspective on this, the only thing I find kind of disorients them is when the winds are very heavy. They kind of, they can't hear the sound bouncing off things as well, but they don't, it's not even like they're spooky. They just, you can tell they're a little bit more uppity trying to find where things are.
And Jesse, you talked about a companion horse, and I assume you mean a sighted companion horse. Do they end up relying on that horse?
Well, again, that kind of goes back to a bit of the rehabilitation process. So rehabilitating a blind, you do want them to be able to eventually find their way around on their own, right? Also, it doesn't necessarily have to be a sighted horse. I actually rehabilitated my off-the-track thoroughbred alongside my blind Appaloosa, who showed him how to do things. So that's kind of an interesting thing to throw in there. But it really does kind of, it matters from horse to horse, per se. Like, literally, some blind horses will bully sighted horses, and some sighted horses bully the blind horses. It just depends.
Just like normal. Just like every other horse.
Yes, exactly.
Horses are still horses. Blind
Right. On that note, when I mixed my herd, my blind herd, and my sighted herd together, my one sighted horse helped my blinds develop their confidence, but now horses have a pecking order, right? My one blind is at the top of that pecking order, which is just, very astounding to me.
Amber, can you ride any of the blind horses?
I do. Mine are, one just finished transitioning. Usually you want to give a horse a decent amount of time to get through transition and relearn what life is being blind. That's part of the rehabilitation process. He is just being started on his ground manners. My daughter started riding her, her blind mare this year, and she does very well with it. And Jessie,
like how blind, completely blind, or like one eye or what?
My horses have no eyes.
Wow.
Oh. All of them are completely inoculated.
Wow. Do they do better if they go blind or start blind or go blind younger than or older, or doesn't it matter?
So the horses that I have seen that have the easiest time with it later on in life are the ones that are born blind. Those horses, when you come into the pasture, are the ones that are able to run over over a variety of terrain, up and down hills, over logs, et cetera. Like, it's just honestly amazing. I have not met an older horse that cannot transition successfully to being blind, despite having X amount of years being sighted. But you can definitely tell who has been blind longer, if that makes sense. Because there's a type of balance issue that they have to work with too, because they're very sight orientated animals. So a lot of my training process, when I took in horses from rescues to rehabilitate them, a lot of it was literally helping them learn how to rebalance themselves, learn where their feet are, that kind of a thing, when they were ready for it within the rehabilitation process.
You know, this is interesting. We've had owners of horses that have one eye and competed up to very high levels, but I don't think we've ever talked about the blind horse. And I'm glad you're bringing awareness to it, because it's something that most people will never run into. But when they do, I would be scared too. I'd be just like I'd be just like those people you talk about.
Yeah, they.
You don't know what you don't know, right?
Right. Exactly. And that's fine. I just want to see more people, instead of automatically going to euthanasia, giving these guys a chance. So once a horse goes blind, we found that, at least I have, and I think Jesse has too, once they go blind, there's no saving the eye. And so once you have inoculated, the pain that goes away once they're gone, they're like brand new horses, and they're thriving to want to do a job. And it's so amazing to see that come out of them once the pain is gone. People need to learn that when their horse is going blind, keeping them in the same environment is what's best for them.
Yeah,
and
moving the furniture around the house, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Yes, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. 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 And that's why we're creating this program as well, you know, for people who are like, okay, I want to do this. I want to give this horse a chance. We can come in and show you how to properly rehabilitate them, and they can still go on, especially if they were competing horses before, to continue to do their job.
I think this is fantastic. And it's obviously something that was needed because nobody was doing it. And I'm glad that you two are out there doing it. I had no idea. So how can people find out about it or get in touch with you if they have a horse that's going blind, or they know, by the way, listeners, if you know somebody that has a horse that's in this situation, then put them in touch with them as well.
Well, you can actually find us over our social medias. So we have the Blind Horse Project on Facebook. We have a TikTok that's labeled that. We have Instagram, and we have YouTube as well. So you can message us on any of those platforms, and we'll get back to you.
This is fantastic. I'm going to put those links in the show notes as well. Thank you for joining us today and making us aware of something that most of us had no idea about. I really appreciate
Thank it. Thank you, guys. We really appreciate Thank it, you. Too. This is amazing.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Cut there. Good job.
That's incredible.
Yeah, this is
you
amazing.
Just ride them.
I know. Again, we've talked about one-eyed, but we've not talked about blind. So this is, and we've been doing this a long time. So I'm great. This is great.
It happens a lot more than people think. It really does. The reason that you don't see it is because the horses are euthanized right away.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we can get a few less that are euthanized now. That's the goal. Ashley will send you a link. This will come out in a couple hours, and she'll send you a link to it. If you want to share it, feel free.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Jesse.
Yeah. Have a wonderful day, guys.
You too. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
Who knew? Have you ever had a almost blind one? Or?
So, let me just knock on wood first, but Monty won't train one-eyed horses. He just says, like, it's just too dangerous. Like, the liability for you as the trainer is too great, because in court they would say, and he's been to court for this, he's done everything, they ask, is this the safest horse you could give her? And the answer was, of course, no, because it's half blind.
Well, I guess if somebody has them in the yard and they're doing it themselves, then it's a different
story. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So
I can understand that.
Yeah. I was trying with that eyeball horse, but he had to be put down.
Yeah. All right. Why don't you do Cosequin, and then we'll introduce Ashley.
Okay.
Three, two, one.
Cosequin ASU joint and hoof pellets contain quality ingredients to support joint and hoof health and leave out the fillers, molasses, and alfalfa, all while delivering the taste horses love. The colors of their ingredients shine through for a difference you can see. Visit CosequinEquine.com.
Our next guest is somebody you've known. Did you meet Ashley Avis on our show? Was that how?
She came to the movement several years ago, Monty Roberts, and talked about, you know, her time with the wild horses. Because when she shot Black Beauty, there was a lot of, you know, it's a Mustang themed Black Beauty. And I mean, I was totally like, oh, this is never going to work. And then I watched it. I was like, God, that was so good. So she spent so much time with the Mustangs and ended up watching these roundups with the helicopters and everything. And a passion grew out of that to save the wild horses. And so she's got a new documentary called Wild Beauty. She ended up adopting two of the horses
that are still at Flag Is Up.
I don't know. I mean, every girl that loves animals is a horse person. So we'll just say it's probably inherent. I don't know if in LA that was her growing up. Well, I have to ask her. But so she's a beautiful soul and a wonderful, warm person. So we'll see what she's up to. All right. Well, we've got Ashley on the line. Hi, Ashley. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. Good morning.
Are you in LA right now or are you in DC?
I am in LA right now, but headed to DC at the end of April.
Gotcha. We were talking about you before you came on, and we have to ask, did you grow up with horses, or is this something that I know you're an animal lover through and through, but is this something that just struck you when you were filming Black Beauty to have this horse bug?
Actually, no, I did grow up with horses. I was a hunter jumper when I was a young person, as a kid into my teens. So I very much was a horse girl. And yeah, but horses came back full circle with writing and directing Black Beauty.
Oh, God. Okay. I knew it. I knew she was a horse girl. Now, why are you heading to DC?
So with Black Beauty, and as you know, making Black Beauty a wild horse in our reimagining to honor why Anna Sewell wrote the book, which was as an animal welfare plea for the horses of her time, that prompted my husband and I and my brother and our small team to create a full feature-length documentary about wild horses, which we spent 5 years on. We traversed the entire American West seeing wild horses in the wild and all of that unbelievable beauty. And then we also film the roundups and the helicopter roundups and how the federal government is chasing horses with low-flying choppers. And that's indiscriminate. They chase foals. They chase pregnant bears. It's really horrifying what's going on in our modern day time. And for anyone who has horses or loves horses, the idea of chasing that animal with a helicopter at eye level is pretty horrifying. And so our documentary really uncovers what's going on and was created to inspire people to care. So now that the film is out, it's available virtually everywhere. We're now using the film as a tool to screen it across the country. And most importantly, upcoming, we're going back to Washington, D.C. for the third time, and we're screening for Congress within the Capitol this time to try to pass something called the Wild Horse and Burro Protection Act.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So real quick about Wild Beauty, you know, your job as a filmmaker is behind the camera, but you took a role in front of the camera this time. What was the challenges with that? Was it crazy different?
It was very different, and it wasn't intentional. It was interesting. The documentary really showed us where it wanted to go over the years of creating it. And initially, we thought we were going to set out to create an indie Planet Earth about wild horses. And over the years, we became bolder. We started asking harder questions of the Bureau of Land Management and the helicopter contractors. And so as it became, my background is in journalism, as the film became more unintentionally and surprisingly journalistic, because it needed to start going that direction, it just started to shift. And it really, the big shift happened when we went undercover in Texas, and we wore button cams and do auctions where wild horses and domestic horses, thoroughbreds, Arabians, everything under the sun, donkeys are flipped into the slaughter pipeline. As it took that turn and I sat down to edit the film, I started writing the voiceover for somebody else. I started writing it for an actor. And then I realized as I started cutting and putting in some of the even iPhone footage of just when we didn't have our cameras up, and I realized, oh my goodness, this is going to have to become personal. And that was scary, because you're putting yourself into the film, but it needed to become personal for people to care, I think.
And your passion is just, I mean, palpable from through the phone. So, I mean, it's amazing. So tell us about HR 3656.
But HR 3656, it would eliminate the use of helicopters, which would be really more about the animal cruelty side of this. And that should be pretty black and white for members of Congress. If you're empathetic at all, if you care about animals, which most people do who are kind, I think that hopefully this bill is bipartisan. And if we can stir up enough attention about it, maybe we have a chance at actually passing it. And so that's why we're going back to Washington, D.C. We're trying to get more co-sponsors for this bill, and hopefully we can actually get a hearing off the ground.
It's such a no-brainer. It's just such a no-brainer. But you're like the modern-day Wild Horse Annie, because she was my hero growing up, of course, helped being the first one to bring to light anything about the wild horses. But what she did was she got the school-aged children all around the country to write letters to Congress, I think, and to submit letters about wild horses. So you are just like doing the same. To tell us about the way that you're getting kids involved now.
Well, I love working with children, and Black Beauty very much was a family film for children and families and teenagers. And I think people pay attention to children differently when they speak out passionately and intelligently and with force. We listen, and so very much inspired by Wild Horse Annie and her letter writing campaign in the 70s, which really, that was what changed things for wild horses at mm-hmm. that time. She got thousands of kids to write letters to President Nixon, and he eventually passed the 1971 Wild and Free Roaming Horses and Burros Act, and which is being flagrantly violated at this point right. in our country. But we're trying to do the same thing with kids and to inspire them to write letters to their members of Congress, write postcards, create little bits of art, and please say, I stand with wild horses. And for anyone listening right now who has a young person in their life, who has a daughter, a son, a niece, a nephew, kids in the barn, please tell them this is more important than ever before right now with us going to Congress, which is going to be on April 30th. We're going to be screening before Congress. If you can get the kids and young voices in your life to write those letters this month and next month, March and April 2024, please, please send them. And I actually got two little letters from children just over the past couple of days that we're going to be forwarding along to the White House, and I've got them in my hands. They're from Beckett and Kenley. And Beckett's letter says, and he's got in marker, I love wild horses in blue and red. And he writes, Dear President Joe Biden, my name is Beckett. I'm 9 years old. I love wild horses so much. I think the babies are so cute. They should be protected so they don't become extinct. Please help them. Aww. And then Kenley writes, I know, they're amazing. And so Kenley has drawn a horse, and she says, my name is Kenley. I'm 11 years old. I love wild horses. I think they should be protected so they don't become endangered. I would like you to pass laws that protect them. I mean, you read these letters, you hold them in your hands. It's so different than just seeing an email. And the passion that comes through from these kids, I think, is so powerful and so palpable. So I think it's going to be them that really ultimately helps to help us pass this bill.
Well, you're also doing something, a short story competition for kids, which yes. I'm a little familiar with. So tell everybody about it.
So I'm announcing the theme of the 2024 competition on your show today. And that the theme is The Worst of Wildness. And that was submitted by a young woman named Jocelyn, who was part of picking a theme. We polled everybody for the theme this year. And that young woman, she's 16, suggested that theme, which I thought was very appropriate for this year.
Okay, and what is it again? I'm going to write it down.
The Worth of Wildness. How do we value, how do we value our world and our wild world and all the creatures within it, specifically, of course, for our competition for the horses? So it's through our nonprofit, the Wild Beauty Foundation, which is wildbeautyfoundation.org. And the short story competition is open in three categories. It's for elementary students, middle grade students, and high school students. And all the information is on the short story competition page. And the entries are now open, and they close August 31st. And what's really cool about this, it's our third year doing this, the three winners in each age category, and then the two top finalists in each age category, nine young people, will have their short stories read aloud by an equine-loving celebrity on social media. So that includes Mackenzie Foy, who starred in Black Beauty, Ian Glenn, who starred in Black Beauty and Game of Thrones, Alicia Newton from Heartland, Graham Wardle from Heartland. We have this amazing cast of actors that are lending their voices to stand with wild horses and to bolster the kids.
That's so cool.
You had me at Black Beauty, but then you really had me at Game of Thrones, and then you really had me at Heartland.
And Kiara Aurelia is joining us from Cruel Summer. We have Jesse Cove from Cobra Kai, Claire Forlani from Meet Joe Black. It's such a cool cast of people that are jumping in to help us again. And we're so appreciative. Beth Bears from Two Broke Girls in the Neighborhood, her husband Michael Gladys from Mad Men. They're all lending their time and their talents to read these stories. And given it's our third year doing this, and I read every single story every year, and we get hundreds of them from around the world, it's just, you sit down and you prepare yourself for hours and hours of smiling and crying, because some of these kids write
such powerful short stories. It's unbelievable. And so we're trying everything we can. And I think creativity is so such a powerful tool in this fight.
So how can your kid enter the contest?
So they go to wildbeautyfoundation.org, and under events, you'll see short story competition. There's a tab, and then kids write their short stories in any word processor that they prefer. And then once they're ready, they can upload the text directly into the portal on that site, on that page.
Now, I mean, sure, there's celebrities that are going to read them and whatever, blah, blah, blah. I hear that there's some amazing judges that are involved in the whole thing.
There are, including you.
I mean, I'm just saying, I'm a judge. So, like, you know, yeah, get involved, people.
get involved. Yes. Yeah, we've got some amazing judges.
Awesome. Well, I'm really excited for you. I'm so proud of you. Just the changes that have happened just since we spent time together at Monty's a few years ago, you know, when we met, it's just incredible how you've dedicated your life to this. It's so cool. Did you ever think, I'm going to be a filmmaker and now I'm going to try to save the wild horse population of the United States?
Absolutely not. If you had told me that at 10 years old, I would have looked at you like you had four heads. Except for the wild horse part, I probably would have been like, but trying to save wild horses, what was that part again?
Yeah.
But no, I mean, I think our callings find us, and this very much found me, and it hooked on, and I've said this to you, I think, before, but I mean it. I think we can all make change in our own corners of the world. And we just have to try. And that's what I'm trying to do. So it's an unexpected but beautiful journey.
Yeah. Now, before we let you go, I've seen on Facebook, you've been traveling the world doing shoots and films and all that stuff. Do you have anything you can talk about that's coming up for you?
I can. So we actually, just last week, we wrapped up a film called The Lamb, which we shot in the Middle East. And it's about a little boy who's 8 years old. And he lives on a farm with his family, very poor. And his mother dies of cancer. And it creates this rift between him and his father. They don't know how to talk to each other. But one day a storm rips through the village and a flock of sheep get hurt. And this pregnant ewe gives birth to a little lamb before she passes away. And this little boy saves the little lamb. And he ends up running away from home and sets out across an adventure over the Arabian desert, trying to bring the lamb to the capital city of what's called Riyadh. And he thinks that if somehow he makes it to Riyadh, which is kind of Oz is in his mind, he'll save the lamb that he loves. So it's a story about family and animals and animal empathy and connection. And that film, we just finished it after about 2.5 years of production and post, and that'll come out later this year. So we're very proud of that. And then another film that I'm working on. Yeah, exactly. Well, when you see the lamb bouncing around the desert, you're definitely gonna you'll chuckle. She's so cute. But yes, it has levity and lightness. But it's a beautiful film about family with some heavier themes. And when you see this little 8-year-old boy's performance, his name is Aziz. He is just spectacular. I mean, he was just amazing to work with.
Don't the kids offer a whole new set of challenges though as a director?
Of course they do. But yeah. In some ways, I mean, of course they do. But then you find these magical kids like Aziz, where, I mean, we looked for months for this little boy to play this role, because I mean, he has to break down and cry in the middle of the desert. His stamina for a shoot like that. And this young man came into the audition room, and it was the 11th and a half hour. We were shooting, I think, in 10 days, and we hadn't found him. And he came in and he read one scene, cold read the scene, which means he hadn't prepared it. He got the lines right before he walked in the door, and he fell to his knees and started crying, reading these lines. And I'm in the room with 15 other people. We're all looking at each other like, oh my gosh. But then he left. He had a commercial job. So he was supposed to come back in. It was like finding Cinderella. We all said, where did he go?
I can't imagine how kids remember the lines. It's hard enough for adults to remember the lines. How do kids remember the lines?
It's just amazing. And it just takes a really special young person, especially at that age. I love that age too. It's the age that some of my mentees are in that age range of like 8 to 10, 12. But he was he's just a really special young person. Just brilliant. Truly brilliant. And wait till you see his performance.
We found Harry Potter.
It was. We were joking that it was like the Harry Potter search. I was going into schools, literally interrupting classrooms, looking for him. And we finally found him. And so there's that film. And then obviously the Oscars were last night. And Oppenheimer really swept the world and it won best picture. And the producer of that film, Chuck Groven, is actually producing my next movie, which is a reimagining of the classic Wim Wenders story, City of Angels. So I'm extremely excited that he took home an Oscar last night, and he produced the 1998 version of City of Angels with Nicolas Cage and Meg Ryan.
And you're doing that with a new one of those?
Late wife. Yeah.
Oh,
we are.
You just love to make me cry. What is going on? Ashley. That's awesome. Well, congratulations to him. Congratulations to you. All the kids get entered. You can go to the website wildbeautyfoundation.org. And if you just Google Wild Beauty, if you haven't seen this documentary, please do go watch it, because it's hard to watch, but it's also good to watch. You know what I mean? Like, this is, we can't turn a blind eye to this. And that is what you've done, is you've put it in front of people's faces.
Thank you so much. And it's true. I mean, and for those that are afraid of watching it because they don't want to see horses get hurt, when we made the film, we found it's not made for children, but we found a very balanced line where we don't want people to have to shut it off. You're not going to see horses with broken legs or broken necks. There's a good deal of sadness throughout the pieces of the roundups, but there's also a great deal of beauty, and a strong 14-year-old can watch the documentary. So we urge people to watch it, to understand what's going on, and to pay attention to wild horses, because right now we're really losing them. The Bureau of Land Management has ramped up the roundups. They're decimating herds across the country. They just completely almost destroyed a herd in Wyoming called McCullough Peaks, which was very iconic. I mean, taking away entire families. It's preposterous and cruel what's happening, and we need to stand up and raise our voices and stop it before we lose that wild beauty. So please watch the film.
Ashley Avis, thank you so much for coming on. We'll talk to you again soon, maybe to come on to announce the winners of the contest, but thank you
that
so much
be
for
great.
Being here. Yeah. And give your sweet husband a hug from me. Okay.
I will.
All right. Bye, guys.
Thanks for having me, guys.
We'll level up your horse's performance this season with choices from Purina Animal Nutrition. From Purina Ultium Competition Formula to Purina Impact Pro Performance and everything in between, Purina has the right option for your horse, including supplements like Purina Super Sport Amino Acid Supplement, Purina Amplify High Fat Supplement, and Purina Outlast Gastric Support Supplement. There are many choices for animal nutrition when you choose Purina, and they're all backed by science. Level up your performance this season and put Purina's research to the test. Ask for Purina at your local feed dealer today. Now, didn't you get some horses last week when I was on Wednesday? You were getting horses in, I think.
Yes, they came in. They always get here right in the middle of the show. So fortunately, I was able to get these taken care of, and I get down there, and now, oh my gosh, I'm like, they're giant dinosaurs, like huge. And so there's a horse named Dacamo, and these two have really interesting names. So Dacamo Heat is, I sticked him, and he's not even four calendar year. He'll be four in May. And he is, let's see. I sticked him at 16.3 of the withers and 17.3 of the butt. So he's got some leveling out to do, but he is a giant, giant, giant chestnut, and he's only four. And unfortunately, somebody thought it was good to take this horse who is this big and run him at two. And he never actually made it to a race because he bowed a tendon beforehand. But it's been 2 years now. He's rehabilitated and sound and everything. So he needs a home. But he is just, I've ridden him, like he's totally cool. I mean, he's green because he's a big four-year-old 17-hand monster, but he's so sweet. Like, I think husband horse. Like, my husband always wants to have a horse that's taller than mine. And this one would fit the bill for any husband that wants a horse that's taller than his wife, because he is a ginormous.
I'm going to have one farm boy works with.
I've ridden him. Farmer's been out of town. He's going to ride him today because I want to see him Western. And I mean, this horse is huge. And the other one is a horse named El Contratista. And you're like, yeah. El Contratista. What does that mean? And it's either the coolest name ever or like the worst name ever. It translates to the contractor.
Which is a movie about hitmen. So
it could be like, is that what it is?
It was
is
a movie about hitmen. Yep.
Okay. So I was like, it's either I named him after my contractor who's building our house, or like, this could be like a hitman kind of movie. Okay, now it makes more
mafia
sense.
Mafia is what it is. It's mafia owned.
Well, this El Contratista is the contractor, and he is a 16-1, 16-2 hand thoroughbred gelding, and he is totally sound, good to go, ready to go, green as grass, but he's going to be fancy. So I think that he would be great with like a professional who wants a very affordable up and coming project. He's going to be pretty cool. Or if you want to put some time into him and then, you know, rehome him yourself, he's pretty cool. He's pretty fancy.
Now, how long do you usually keep him?
Well, basically I want to get them to where any sort of like major behavior that they have, like fear of being head shy or loading or anything like that, I want to address that. And I want to be able to walk, trot, canter, and either jump or trail ride, depending on what that is. And so you would think that would take, it takes me to get that if they're not really, really emotionally scarred, like the last one that came, it'll take me about 10 days.
Okay.
To get that. Yeah. Well, that's so quick. It's so fun. I get two new horses every 10 days, Glenn. It's like the greatest thing ever.
I know you keep some of them. If they're slow learners, you keep them a little longer.
Yeah. So yeah, there's some that have been here up to 3 weeks. I think one was here a month one time, but, and that's the beauty of the rescue that I work with, Horse and Hound, is she's like, whatever you need. Like this, a couple times ago I had a horse and I was like, just so you know, I am training this horse. I'm just not posting about it because I don't feel like it would be very flattering. And she's like, sure, totally trust you. That's fine. So it's just, you know, you let the horse tell you, but usually these guys, you know, they've been with good people and they've been, you know, they're ready to have a job and to work and learn and do stuff. And then some of them are like, I think that humans are terrifying and I don't want to get hit. Or some of them are like, let's do this. Or some are like big for their britches and you need to be like, you can't be a bully. You're too big. So it just all depends on, do you know how many I've done for Horse and Hound now? I counted it. I'm close to 160. What? That's crazy.
It seems like you just started doing this yesterday, too. I know you've been doing it for a long time, but time flies.
Well, look at my Facebook page. Look, I posted a picture of yesterday. Lucas was taking the shedding blade to Duke.
I saw that and picture.
Then, oh, my God. And then I found in my phone, I had to go off. I was like, I know I have one of him little. He's like super tiny. And I feel like that was 5 minutes ago, Glenn.
It does seem like 5 minutes ago, actually. All of us that have been around with this show for that length of time are feeling the same way you are when I saw that.
Oh, my God. It's so old. And the one girl posted, it was like, I was at your baby shower. I'm like, oh, my God. That's like 5 minutes ago. Seriously. Oh.
And he's what, 11 or 12?
He's 10. He'll be 11 in May.
He looks older, though.
I know.
Then
it's. I don't like it. His shoes are bigger than mine now. You know how like women, when you like slip on your husband's shoes to walk outside real quick, you know, and you can just slide them on clump, clump. That's my son's shoes now. And I don't like that at all.
We got to spend an evening. One of our, when we were over with Helena and Buck, Carrie came over. She's one of our auditors and our longest listener. I mean, her and Rhonda. Carrie started with us when we did the Talking Equine show, when Helena and I did that in 2006. So that means that we have been podcasting, and this didn't dawn on me. We've had the Horse Radio Network for 16 years, but we started our first podcast 2 years before that. So it's 18 years. And Carrie has been listening that whole time. So it was very interesting sitting there and chatting all night because, you know, she's lived through all of this with us, you know, and you think about that. It's bizarre. It's flattering and bizarre all at the same time.
What's crazy is that, you know, like the non-horse people in my life, I had lunch with a friend the other day that I haven't seen in a while. And she's like, so you still doing the podcast? How's that going? I'm like, they're still paying me. Like that's always my answer. They're still paying me. I don't know what to say. Like, yes, I've been doing a podcast for 14 years. It sounds like I'm lying.
It does.
Sounds like I'm lying.
It does sound like you're lying. And when I say I've been podcasting for 18 years, other podcasters, I'm sure I'm lying, you know? So,
yeah.
But we've had a network for 16 years. Can you believe that? It's just crazy.
I'm feeling old. My back's starting to hurt.
So Carrie was funny too, and she won't mind me saying this, I don't think. So she's sitting there with Helena and I and Jennifer and Buck, and she's sitting there. And of course, you know, we've spent the week together, Helena and I, Jennifer and Buck, and we kind of talked about everything we're going to talk about. So Carrie shows up that night for and it ended up being us quizzing her about her life. And at one point she said, okay, guys, let's talk about somebody else. I said, well, you're sitting here with a bunch of interviewers who have nobody to interview right now. So you're
it's in. The thing. It's the thing. It's like, I find that sometimes I'm in conversations like I'm doing interviews.
It happens more than you and I would care to think.
Because I don't want to talk about me anymore. Talk about me enough.
Exactly. Well, that's what I said. I said, look, we've talked about our whole lives. You know us. There's nothing we can talk about that you don't know. But we don't know anything about you. So let's start from the beginning.
Yeah.
I'm sure she felt ganged up on. But literally, you had a bunch of interviewers sitting there with nobody else to talk to. And she had a fascinating life. That was the amazing part. She leads in a fascinating life. So it was, you know how I always said, every horse person has a story. We've said this since day one. It's our job to help them tell it.
Yeah,
it's our job to help them tell their story. And
whether they want to or not, Carrie.
Carrie doesn't know that I taped her, and we're going to put it in the post show. No, just kidding.
I was like, dang, that's savage.
Just kidding, Carrie. She now had a heart attack. All right, let's do a post show. What do you say? Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We really appreciate it. Endurance tomorrow with Karen. And then we have, later on in the week, we have the Rainers, and Jamie and I are going to be here rest of the week as well. So take care, everybody. Have a great day.
All right. Spay Neuter Geld.